Amen. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, as Pastor said, the funeral service for my dad will be in Mount Vernon this Thursday, viewings from 10 till noon, and the service is there at noon. And then on Friday, a graveside service here in Goshen, at the Goshen Cemetery, at 10 o'clock. And it'd be a blessing if you could be there. Just as a testimony to my dad's faithfulness, I thank God for my goodly heritage. Amen. Well, I believe the work in Mexico is going fine. I'm not there. I don't know. I think it's going fine. Brother Martin is, in all reality, pastoring the work. And God just got to tell him that. So, and that's, couldn't choose any better. So, the week before we left, of course, our family, my family, Peggy, Ann, and I had the virus, and it whooped on me pretty good. Just hard to breathe, that was about it, you know. And so I just didn't breathe much, you know. The family came through it fine, but then it's kind of gone through our church as well, so that, you know, it just hits different people different ways. And we had a couple of, I would say, high risk in our church, and it's hit them pretty hard. So praying for them, that God would allow them. Most of them have come through it fine. We still have one that's struggling with it, Manuela, so pray for her. But Lord willing, it'll all pass, and we'll be the better for it. And just... Amen. It's good to go through a trial and see that God is able. It's good to go through a trial and know that God's still there. It's good to go through a trial and just know that psalmist said, of the Lord are the issues of death. And unless God signs you a death certificate, you're not going to die, okay? So just we can trust the Lord. But things are going well, and just continuing to pray that God would give us continue to give us people, our newest person is Frankie Francisco, and his wife and their two little boys. They have begun coming about 2 months now. He's excited about the things of God, and we thank the Lord for Francisco, for Frankie. And then the others, of course, have just been faithful, and we just continue to ask God to give us people. And then we continue to ask God to give us a place so that they can be able to have their own place and afford their own place. And then as God sees fit to raise up he who he would have to be pastor to take the work, that's the goal. And so that's kind of a little short update on the work of the ministry that's going on in Mexico today. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And I want us to notice a theme of the Apostle Paul here in dealing with Timothy. In verse 3 he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia." So Paul says, Timothy, I ask you to stay on at Ephesus when God called me on. I think we understand that part. There's a reason that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And he goes on in verse number 4 and talks about fables and endless genealogies and things that you can get sidetracked on, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. And then in verse number 10, to understand it, he says in verse 8, the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. I'm in chapter number 1. Did I say I was in a different chapter? 1 verse 3, yeah. My apology. I'm getting signals over there, so I thought, usually it's because I haven't turned the mic on, but I don't even have a mic on, so how can I turn it on if I don't have it on? Chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 10 we just read. Now we can jump. Let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. So we see again, verse 3 he says that they teach no other doctrine. In verse number 10 he talks about contrary to sound doctrine. In chapter 4 verse number 6, continuing to instruct Timothy, verse 5 says, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. God's word is always the thing that gives us our foundation. Amen. And then he says in verse 6, thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse, and again profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, sound and good doctrine. Then verse number 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. Until I come, give attendance to what? To doctrine. Verse number 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing in this thou shalt both save thyself. Now he's already a saved man. He's not talking about making it to heaven. He's talking about saving his testimony. He's talking about saving his his walk before God, saving vanity of vanity, all is vanity, Solomon said, under the earth. If you take God out of the equation, it's all vain. But if you put God in the equation, you have a reason for living. And if you take doctrine out of your ministry, what's your purpose? And that's what he's saying here. And he's saying, by putting sound doctrine, good doctrine, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, I would take it from reading these verses in 1 Timothy that doctrine must be important. On the back of the 99 GMC van, and yes, we still have that, it's never been Mojave's van, but it's always had Mojave Baptist Church on it and still does. But on the back of the van, it said Mojave Baptist Church, and it still says it, but you'd have to be really keen to look at it to see, because it's burnt off almost. It says it does make a difference what you believe. The Catholic sign writer put that on the van for me, and he says that, Pastor Harris, I think he called me Father Harris, but anyway, he says that really makes one think. I said it does make a difference what you believe. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. Paul, again writing to Timothy, a second epistle, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions," and he goes on, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. You know, it wasn't a secret what Paul believed. If you don't know, just read the Bible, because it's in there. In chapter 3, verse number 16, a very familiar verse, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect," the word there means complete, "truly, from one end to the other, furnished unto all good works." Some people have missed something in the middle or the beginning, or they're not quite got all the way to the end, and it has to do with sound doctrine. They missed a cog somewhere along the line, and they spun off because they would not endure sound doctrine. Chapter 4, verse number 1, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ," that therefore in verse 2, verse 1 of chapter 4 is because of what's there in chapter 3, verse 16, "Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time, verse 3, will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, again, and we can go through Titus and do the same thing and find out that Paul is admonishing Titus that sound doctrine is important. And we live in a society, in independent Baptist church circles. I don't really worry too much about those that are further away. But we live in a society of independent Baptist churches that doctrine doesn't really matter. They didn't read my Bible, obviously. Now, this isn't the message, but by introduction to the message, may I say that doctrine defines. Doctrine defines. "That speak thou the things which become sound doctrine," Paul said in Titus. Doctrine defines. 2 Timothy 3:10. Let me read that one for you. We read it already, but let's read it again. 2 Timothy 3:10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Doctrine defined Paul. Doctrine defines. I am a Baptist because I have Baptist doctrine. I am who I am, and people know that because of what I believe. There are churches, independent Baptist churches in this area, that do not support me because of what I believe. I'm talking about independent Baptist churches in our area. There are independent Baptist churches in our immediate area that used to support me when I first went out in 1986 that no longer support me. Pastor Burke, and you being my witness, I haven't changed. But they no longer support me because of doctrine. Doctrine defines. From the first time I ever heard the name Cazadale Baptist Temple, it was defined to me in a negative way because of what Cazadale believed. But to me, that was very positive. And from that very first get-go, back in 1976, I wanted to be someone like a member of Cazadale Baptist Temple. Never dreamed that would ever be my life. But doctrine defines. I was in Bullhead City a couple of weeks ago, and there's a church there that was a conventional Baptist church, and it no longer has the name Baptist on it. And didn't that make you sad? No, actually, I thought, well, praise the Lord, they finally took the name off because they don't believe it anyway. They didn't believe it the whole time I was there. Why they kept the name, I have no idea. But praise the Lord, it's not there anymore. Why? Because it ought to define something. Romans chapter 16, verse 7 says, mark them which cause divisions contrary to the doctrine. Not only does doctrine define, but doctrine divides. Paul said, mark them which cause division contrary to the doctrine. Mark them. Because why? Because doctrine, and I don't think I need to explain this, but let me stop and say the word doctrine just simply means teaching. Our teaching defines us. Our doctrine divides us. I am not like them. Why? Because my doctrine and their doctrine is not the same. Our doctrine and their doctrine is not the same, and I'm talking about independent Baptist churches. But there is a right and there is a wrong. I want to be right and not wrong. Well, who are you to say what's right and what's wrong? I'm not anybody to say what's right and what's wrong, but I do have a book that God wrote that tells me what's right and what's wrong. And let God be true and every man a liar. And, well, that's going to divide you. Yes, it will. Welcome to reality. And I think that's what we've missed maybe, is that we think that we can, you know, get along with everybody, and even talking independent Baptist circles, that we can get along with them when doctrine divides. And if you and I don't believe the same teaching from the Word of God, I'm sorry, we're not on the same page. We're probably not even the same book. Because I'm in this book. Doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3. It says, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And contrary, verse 10, to sound doctrine. In chapter 6, and verse number 3, the Bible says, if any man teach otherwise... Let me go over there. I don't have the whole verse written down, but 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 3. We're right here, so you can follow with me. It's all based on the Bible. It's not my thoughts, my opinions. The Bible says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, etc. And the word dotting means to be sick in mind. He is dotting, he's sick in his mind. Hey, Paul, whoa, buddy, hang on. That's a little rough. And consent not the wholesome words, and if he's going to teach otherwise, even the words into doctrine, which is according to godliness. Doctrine defines, doctrine divides, doctrine, and this isn't the message, okay? I'm just trying to warm you up here. Doctrine decries. You cannot believe sound doctrine and be around those who are not of sound doctrine and just sit still like nothing's wrong. It ought to eat you. That's wrong. Now, I understand that the Bible admonishes, he that is ignorant, let him be ignorant still. And I've met people like that. I can't help them. They're ignorant. I'm sorry. They're going to be ignorant still. Because you can't, what's the verse saying? Proverbs, you can't something to a fool. I can't remember exactly how it is, but let me put it in a New Testament way. You can't throw your pearl before the swine. They don't appreciate it. But it ought to eat you. Doctrine decries. Somebody tells me that they have this doctrine is contrary to the Word of God, then it just cries out and says, no, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. Doctrine, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine decides. I don't decide my doctrine, but my doctrine decides who I am. Doctrine declares who I am. But let me say this. Those are all kind of more on a negative side of things. But may I say very simply that doctrine delivers? How many of you are saved? Amen? You know how you're saved? By sound doctrine. I think it's Pastor who has said, and I don't know, maybe it was someone else that said that one of the greatest blessings in life was that the first time he heard the gospel, he heard it right. I don't know if Pastor said that or somebody else I've heard said that, but it's right. Aren't you so glad that the first time you heard the gospel, it was the right gospel? It wasn't some perversion of a gospel and you've been lost, Brother Vicente. Old was Brother Vicente. He died this year, 87. And with tears in his eyes, he would say, Pastor, I'm so glad that at 87 years old, I finally heard the gospel right. I love to listen to his stories of he went from the nominal Catholicism that everybody in Mexico was raised in, especially 87 years ago. And some of the things that he heard, it make you shake your head as American, and especially if you've been raised in a Baptist church, you think, they really told him that? And yeah, they really told him that. And then he went from that, and he went to charismatics, and he went to non-denominationals, and he went to Jehovah's Witness, and then he went to Mormonism. He went to all of them until one day, by the grace of God, this guy shows up on his doorstep to talk to another person, and God opens his eyes. And aren't you so glad that the first time you heard the gospel, you heard it right? If it wasn't the first time that by the grace of God it finally came and you heard it right, but why would I want to raise my family to not hear the gospel right? Why would I want to be in a church and not hear the gospel right and be blinded? Gospel delivers the sound doctrine. Without sound doctrine, there is no deliverance. You've heard as well as I've heard many times it said, well, we all serve the same God. No, we don't. No, we don't. My God is three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Now, if you take one of those away, do you have the same God as me? No, you don't. My God is sovereign. You take away His sovereignty, you don't have the same God. My God is just. You take away His justness, you don't have the same God. Sound doctrine, the importance. Several years ago, again, I was up in Bullhead City, and Pastor Randall and I were talking, and Pastor Randall says, do you know a missionary by the name of Brian Elam? I said, I do not. I said, I've heard a little bit about Brian Elam. I've seen his prayer letters in different churches. I know he's in Russia. I know he's out of Canada. And I just knew that from reading prayer letters. And I said, but I don't know him. And he says, well, he wrote a letter, and he's having to resign as a missionary. And Mojave was supporting him at that time. And he says he's having to resign as a missionary. And And I don't know if we should continue supporting him or not. I said, well, I can't advise you because I don't know the man and I don't know the situation. And so he went ahead and shared with me a little bit of what he knew about the situation, and he was a little bit unclear about it. And so I told Pastor Randall, I said, listen, without looking into it further, I really, again, can't advise you, but there's a reason why. I understand if he has to politically to stay in Russia, become a pastor in Russia, that there's no reason why we as churches cannot continue to support him so that he financially can be there. It's all defined about doctrine, not about necessarily the politics of all this. And I didn't understand completely what was happening with Brother Elam, and I said, but there's reasons why a good man will have to make those steps. And I told him, I said, you know, by the grace of God, if God ever calls us back to New Zealand, I don't plan to stay on as a missionary forever. But by the grace of God, after seeing a work established, I said, I plan to become a pastor in New Zealand for the rest of my life if God opens that door. I said, but it may be that I may still need a little bit of help to be there. And it may be that God wants me to stay as a missionary. That's fine. And there's some countries where I can and some countries where I can't. So I said, I really don't understand. I don't know, but, you know, if it's not a doctrinal issue, then stay behind the man. And then a couple of 6 months ago, Pastor texted me, called me, emailed me, said, hey, I have a letter from a missionary I'd like for you to read. I said, sure, no problem. He sent me a letter from Brian Elam. I said, oh. And I got kind of the full scoop of what's happening. And the next step was that, so that church in Red Deer, Alberta, was coronating his funds, although it was not his church anymore. But then even that bothered Brother Elam, because that church took a turn on doctrine. Now, it happened to be the doctrine of communion, on a position of communion, and there's three positions in communion that are pretty well known. It's the closed position, the close position, and the open position, and we at Kazadale are closed. We have been since this church commissioned me in March of 1986. Oh, what's the big deal? It's called local church. And you can't short one doctrine without it affecting other doctrines. And it's a domino effect. When you stop standing for sound doctrine, you begin to lose good doctrine. You end up with no doctrine, so to speak. And Pastor says, so, Brother Harris, what do you think about that letter? And I said to Pastor Burke, I said, listen, Pastor Burke, I said, all I can say is that as a missionary, I'm on his side. And if I was still a pastor, I'd be in his corner. Any orphan missionary deserves a church in his corner when he's willing to stand on sound doctrine. That's all introduction. Let me try to give you some thoughts. One of the concerns of your missionary for his church, having seen so many area churches. When I went to New Zealand, there was like, I don't know, 21 area churches that had the same doctrine as Kazadale Baptist Temple. When I came back from Bullhead City, Arizona, there was like 11 of those same churches that still had the same doctrine. Not 21 independent Baptist churches, but 21 independent Baptist churches of like precious faith. And then it was 11. I don't know what it is. But I can take you to churches really, really close that used to support us but now don't. And I can tell you the doctrine that caused the division. I have other churches that are really, really close that never have supported me, and it had to do with doctrine. And I can give you names, and I'll give you the doctrine. Doctrine divides, and doctrine decides. And doctrine, sound doctrine is so important. Now, let me give you, I've got seven. I don't know if I'll get through all seven of these. I just want to run through them real quick about sound doctrine. I know this is a Sunday morning. I know we have visitors, and I'm not talking to the visitors, and I'm not talking out there to the internet. I'm talking to Gazadiel Baptist Temple. I'm talking to you about the importance of sound doctrine. That we stay faithful for Jesus' sake, of course, but for Stephen's sake, for Peggy's sake, for Brother Elam's sake. Now let me give you some thoughts about sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is about a Savior, a Christ, and not about a current situation or crisis. Sound doctrine is about a Savior, a Christ, and not about a current situation or crisis. We preach Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. We preach the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ simply means that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no other way. And when we leave sound doctrine, we leave the preaching of a Savior, we leave the preaching of a Christ, and we take into something about current situations and crises and stuff like that. And I've seen it all my life of people who used to preach Christ now worrying about crises and preach the Savior. Now they're worried about a current situation. We just preach Christ. I've seen a sign last night on the freeway. It says, New Year, same. What's it? Virus. Well, whatever. New Year, same Savior. New Year, same Jesus. New Year, same salvation. Sound doctrine is not only about a Savior, and again, going back to this very fact that I am so glad that when I heard the gospel, I heard it right the first time. Sound doctrine is about a salvation, a conversion. It's not about a conceived social cause. And from my life, being born and raised in missions, I have watched social causes come and go. And I see them today, and I see them in independent Baptist circles, and I see where missionaries are more concerned about raising funds for this or raising funds for that or raising funds. And it's all about promotion, and it's all about just trying to get people involved, but they, in the middle of it, they've thrown out salvation, they've thrown out conversion, they've thrown out the reality of why we're here. Sound doctrine is about salvation as a repentance towards Jesus Christ and faith, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. It's the fact of my, it's repentance and reliance. It's the fact, repentance is the fact of my sinfulness. There is none righteous, no, not one. And reliance or faith in my Savior is the only possible means of salvation. That's good doctrine. That's sound doctrine. I can remember, you know, and we used to have kind of like a vacation Bible school in the dormitory out in Africa. Bethel, remember my sister Beth here, maybe She may be too young. Those times passed. I'm in a different era. I was in a missions conference down in Florida, and some missionary came up to me and says, I heard you were raised in a boarding school. And it's like, yeah. He takes my hand, and he's pumping my hand, and he's like, I never thought I'd ever meet a missionary old enough to be raised in a boarding school. I guess I was one of those last of the Mohicans. I didn't think about that. But we used to have like a VBS, and I can remember, you know, the popsicle stick cabins. African kid never had it so good. I mean, you know, we never had stuff like that. Different things like that, but it was all towards remembering songs like, I don't have to wait until I'm grown up to be what Jesus wants me to be. It was all about missionary kids presenting to missionary kids salvation by the grace of God. But don't ever let it, well, we got to get a little verse in here. Oh, we got to get a little prayer in here. No, no, no. It's about salvation. Sound doctrine is about a scriptural completeness and not a changeable standard and confusion. It's about the Word of God. Sound doctrine is about the Word of God. Listen, if you're hobnobbing with any group of Christians and churches that have a changeable Word of God, they're not teaching you sound doctrine. This is the Word of God. It is infallible, it is inspired, it is preserved in the English language for you and I, and praise the Lord, because that's what you and I speak. Amen. But if I was in Africa speaking Sango, I couldn't say that. Until recently in Spanish, you couldn't say that. Beats me all to death how we have independent Baptist missionaries that supposedly stand on the purity of the Word of God in English, and then they stand against those who stand on the same principles in Spanish and ostracize you. And in all of Sonora, you're looking at the missionary that believes in the preservation of the Word of God in the Spanish language. How does that work? That's not sound doctrine. And before the reign of Valera Gomez came out, and Brother Elam just took one of these back to his son Matthew, who's going to be, Lord willing, coming down spending time with us. And Matthew was so excited about all the gifts he received. I guess they don't have Christmas, they have New Year's over there. But anyway, the Bible, and I told Brother Elam when he showed it to me via Marco Polo, I said, hey, I'm glad you got the right one. That's sound doctrine. Some of you know my story, how I was raised in a church that didn't believe that. And I went up to my youth director, Chip Hackney, at the time, and Chip kept telling me that it was a gray area in the Bible, it was a gray area in the Bible, it was a gray area in the Bible, it was a gray area in the Bible. And I went up to Chip and I said, Chip, I said, listen, I said, my Bible here is I got a real good Bible because it's got this real thin paper, it's called onion skin paper, it's white. And I said, then they use black ink. He's looking at me like, duh. I said, except over here in the New Testament, I have what is called a red letter edition. Some of the letters are in red because they say that's what Jesus said. I said, but let's not worry about the red. I said, but you keep telling me that's the gray area. I said, the only way I can get gray out of that is if my vision's kind of blurry, because it's either black or it's white. And it's black or it's white. And I don't understand how people want to say it's a gray area other than the fact that they're not willing to hear sound doctrine. But sound doctrine is about a scriptural completeness that you and I have in our hands, the very Word of God, to guide us in every way. We do not have the responsibility nor the opportunity to change God's Word. It is established. We have the obligation to allow God's Word to change us. Amen. Amen. That's sound doctrine. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By changing the Bible. By taking heed thereto according to the Word of God. Sound doctrine is about a sovereign choice. In that I mean this, a scriptural church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20, if you can read that little part underneath the name of our church, it says, "Unto Him be glory in the church." Verse 21. God made a sovereign choice. He says, "I'm going to put my glory somewhere." And guess where He put it? In the church. And guess what the word church means? It always means 114 times a local visible assembly. There is no such thing as a universal invisible Catholic church. There is no such thing. That's what the word Catholic means. It's not in the Bible. That is called sound doctrine. And when we start trying to redefine Bible terms, we have left the base of sound doctrine. And here at Cazadale, one of the things that differentiates us and divides us from the rest and decries the rest and defines us as a church is that we believe in a local, visible, as the word means, church. And we don't cater to any of this other doctrine of a universal, invisible hodgepodge of there is a family of God, and everyone that is born again is in the family of God. And there is the kingdom or the reign of God, and there is a church of God, but they're not all one and the same. Read your Bible. And we have a society in independent Baptist circles that has become Protestant. Many times it's referred to as Baptistic. Go to English class. Something that is ick is not it. If something is Baptistic, it's because it's not Baptist. We need to be careful and understand that. Sound doctrine has to do with God's sovereign choice. Listen, it's about a sovereign choice. It's not about a convention. It's not about a college. It's not about a school. It's not about a camp. God put His love, and God put His authority, and God put His glory in the church. And He was speaking specifically of each and every individual church. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? And you've allowed doctrine to be redefined. And all of your Christian activities are tied into something where God's glory is not. And you watch as it burns up all your good works that should have valued for something. They burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. Why? Because of bad doctrine. God put His glory in the church. When I was starting the church out at Mojave, we had a missionary by the name of Charles Wilform. Charles was out of First Baptist Church in Spring Valley, California. You say, why do you name names? Because I want you to know I'm talking to you about not a parable, but a fact. If you can find Charles Wilform, you can ask him. And Charles was out of the church, was going to go to as a missionary to Mexico, and I thought Charles was a novice. And so I wasn't too keen to support Charles, except I really wanted to support a missionary to Mexico. Brother Cassidy was Brother Wilform's pastor, and I knew Brother Cassidy, and I'd been in Brother Cassidy's church. And I told Brother Cassidy, I think there's some problems here with your missionary. I think he's a novice, but he's young. I don't blame him for that. I said, but what we're going to do as a church is we really, really want to take on a missionary to Mexico, but what we'd like to do is we're not going to support your missionary because of some of these things I say until a little bit later when he gets to the field. But in the meantime, I say we're not going to support your missionary, but listen, I want him to come through every time he's coming down I-40 and whatever and flying through here. Just let him know that he has a place to stay. I really want him to stop. He'll preach for us, and we give him a love offering, $1,500. Every missionary came through. Well, that kind of helps. I need a love offering. Let's go by Mojave Baptist Church. And so he came through one time as an evangelistic meeting. Some of you are probably there. And when we were walking from that, remember we had, every year we had a different unit that we used, and just depending on what was free. And we had that back unit in the back. And some of the men were staying, and some young men were sleeping in that. And we were having our fellowships over there. And Charles Wilform and I were walking across the parking lot to the church building there in the front. And Brother Wilform said to me, he stops, and he kind of looks at me, and he says, Pastor Harris, he says, why is it that you're so anti anything that's local church? And I looked at Brother Wilform, and I said, Brother Wilform, I have never, ever talk to you about mission boards, colleges, and camps. And he goes, oh, Brother Harris, you don't have to. You just ooze it. I thought, well, praise the Lord. He knows where I stand. But there is no Bible college. There is no convention. There is no association. There is no camp. There is nothing like that can ever take the glory that Jesus put in his church. But we live in a society where the West Coast Baptist churches of Lancaster, California, and where the just name, I'm close to that way, so that's the one always, it bothers me that they take the young people from churches and they never come back. And then they want to have their hand in everything and get the glory. No, the glory belongs to Jesus. Amen. Don't take the glory from my Savior. And he said, I put it in the church. That defines Gazadale. Sound doctrine is about a selected cause called souls. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we're having a resurgence in, let me say it this way, we're having a resurgence in Baptistic circles. You'll get that. It's about a selected cause. It's not about a Calvinistic selected core. My dad used to go off on Calvinism, and I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. But I heard about it, and I thought, well, whatever that is, I don't want to be one. I had a missionary out of a local church in our area one time sat down with me and said, Brother Harris, he says, what do you do with all these missionary questionnaires? I said, I fill them out and send them back. I was talking to a pastor who just called me this week, said that they're taking us on for support. Never even been in the church. He says, I called your pastor. I called my father-in-law. I called my pastor. He says, we're taking you on. Because doctrine defines. I had this missionary tell me, what do you do? I said, I fill them out. And I told this pastor this week, I was in Kroger, as he called me, I said, I am 100% behind missionary questionnaire. I realize there's some that go places they ought not to go, but just don't worry about that. But you know, but if we as a church would be faithful in supporting missionaries of like precious faith, missionaries of like precious faith would get on the field a lot quicker and stay there. But I have churches I know that are supposedly of like precious faith, and then I go down and I read their missionary. That's the first thing I do when I get to the church. If you know, I have the opportunity, nobody catches me. I go to wherever they're to have their missionaries displays, and I read them and I find out what who do they support. And I'm thinking, what's this guy doing on here for? And he says, I had this church ask me about Calvinism. He was going to Australia. He said, and your church asked me about Calvinism. What's Calvinism? I said, you're going to Australia and you've graduated from college and you don't even know what Calvinism is? I said, so what'd you do? He said, I handed it to my pastor. And he put a stamp on it, approved by such and such Baptist church. They don't need to know all the rest of the answer. Yes, they do. It's called sound doctrine. What do you believe about Calvinism? I'm against it. Listen, let me sum up Calvinism in this area. And I know Pastor's mentioned that he's going to be teaching more about it. And God's choice. Calvinism is that God made a choice. He did. But listen, God's choice was not about how many would be saved, but God's choice was about how may they be saved. We are chosen and accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. That was God's choice. It was not whether or not Brother Davis would ever be saved or not. It was about the fact that if Brother Davis would repent of his sin and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, God would save him through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's election. And we need to know it's called sound doctrine. Don't let the winds of change blow in and remove you from the truth. And don't allow sin to sway your being, to look for teachers with itching ears. My dad said to my older brother years ago, my brother said, but Dad, they preach what is right. My dad said to my brother, Joel, sometimes it's not what they preach, it's what they don't preach. Put that in your coffee maker and percolate it for a while. Sometimes it's what they don't preach. Well, so-and-so Baptist Church, they preach everything we preach. As far as they go, they do. But they pull their punch. It's counsel. It's called sound doctrine. It's about a sanctified commitment. Listen, sound doctrine is about a sanctified commitment, not about a control, a standard, or a cult. When I first heard about Cazadale Baptist Temple, I heard the word from Bill Webb's son, Billy. And it was because Cazadale had too many standards. But may I show you from the Bible, may I challenge you from the Bible that sound doctrine is about sanctification. A commitment to sanctification. It's what the Bible is all about. But too many in trying to do away with sound doctrine have made it about a control. They're just trying to control you. It's about their standards. No, it's not our standards. It's the standards of the Word of God. It's about, they're just a cult. No, we're not. We're teaching the Word of God above man's doctrines, which is a cult. It's about a sanctified commitment. That sound doctrine is about being taught that God wants me to be sanctified. That means to be set apart. That means to be set apart from something that's wrong, set apart to something that is right. I'm all for that. And that's why I'm still here. Because you're still for that. And don't let that change. If it was true, then it's true now. I just don't, for the life of me, I just have the hardest time trying to figure out how people think that things change when it comes to the holiness of God. It doesn't change. But all the world, and you let your kids use that excuse? Everybody's doing it. I'm sure you do, don't you? Everybody got a nose ring. Well, get one yourself then. No, you don't. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is about a specific concern. Go into all the world. and preach the gospel. Again, the Central African Republic, my country in Africa, is a war-torn country for 30-some years. It'd be hard-pressed to find a missionary. But you can find people drilling wells. Now, wait a minute. If it's so much an area of conflict that missionaries can't safely go, what are the well drillers doing there? Well, what are the well-doers doing there? And yet, the missionary thinks it's too dangerous. It's dangerous. But then, ever heard of a town called Magdalena? Very dangerous. It's gotten hot a few times. And I've called pastor several times, hoping pastor said, "It's too hot, get out of there." And he won't say it. He just leaves me there. But it's because, in the meantime, I got a hold of God and said, "God, what do you want me to do?" And God said, "Though the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." I said, "You're kidding, right?" "No." The pastor said, "Think you ought to leave?" And I said, "No. Because God said, the righteous is bold as a lion. I ain't done nothing wrong. They may be looking for me, but here I am. I'll let God sort it out. Because of the Lord are the issues of death." Man, I sure would like to tell you hundreds being saved, but they're not. We get just the one every once in a while. And we get an influence with one and we think, okay, and then it fizzles. And I say, "Lord, I hear of other places where there's people actually winning souls. Can I go over there?" And God says, "No, I got you where I want you." It's about a cause. And I say, "Lord, okay." I was going through my dad's slides. Hundreds of slides, trying to find a picture of Dad. It wasn't about Dad. There's hardly any pictures of Dad. It was about people. I can show you a picture of a little naked African boy covered in leprosy. I can show you pictures of a woman that has a goiter bigger than her head. I can show you pictures that just tug at your heartstrings and break your heart and then take an offering and you'd give. But that's not what it's about. I don't know the story behind those pictures that Dad has, but there's this couple and that couple and this man, that lady, and this group of kids. And I don't know the story, but I can see it in their eyes that they heard the gospel and it's changed their life. It's called sound doctrine. But if we leave sound doctrine of the cause, we have left sound doctrine of the cure. we can dig a well, and we can hand out medicine, and in hell, they lift up their eyes because we left sound doctrine. Again, church, thank you for my 30-some years of staying by the stuff and preaching sound doctrine. Don't let the waves of change move you from sound doctrine, because when the trumpet sounds, and it will, God will judge us by our doctrine. That's what he said. And stand firm. Have you heard the gospel? Did you hear it right? That you are a sinner, that only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves you, and only Jesus keeps you saved. It's not of works, but by his mercy he saved us. If you didn't hear that right the first time, would you listen and take it and be saved? God, thank you for the opportunity.